With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Taco Palenque fans, we have something special for you. Try the Casero Taco now for only $2.75 Monday through Thursday. Flavor packed with premium sirloin rice and refried beans. Only at Taco Palenque. At participating locations for limited time, not valid for delivery. Other restrictions may apply.
From a highly secure network of top secret locations across North America, this is the Spurs Insider, brought to you by Taco Palenque. I'm your host, Mike Finger, joined as always by Express News, Spurs beat writers Jeff McDonald and Tom Orsborn, and sports editor Nick Talbot. Tom Orsborn has covered Super Bowls. He's covered Olympics. I think he's covered big time heavyweight fights. He's covered NBA finals. But is he prepared as he checks in from the frigid upper Midwest of our United States to cover what might be the biggest event he's ever covered in his illustrious sports writing career, the San Antonio Spurs against the Detroit Pistons. Tom, are you ready?
Well, Mike, there's definitely a buzz in this city. I mean, this city is excited. There? But it's for what you just mentioned. Unfortunately, it's for the Lions hosting the Rams.
Not so much about the Spurs and Pistons. The two records of these teams are completely different. They are set apart. They are in their own class, their own league, so to speak, in the NBA. Nobody approaches what these two teams have done so far this season, and they're about to go head to head.
The Lions have more wins than these two teams combined.
That's amazing.
Small sample size, but I'm in the Uber yesterday for 40 minutes. And the Uber driver is a sports fan. And I know you guys would never do this, but I admitted to being a sports writer and told him what I cover.
Admitted. He volunteered at the moment he walked in the Uber. Hey, I'm Tom. I'm a sports writer.
That's right.
That's actually what his T-shirt read.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tom. I'm a sports writer.
I had the old fedora with the press pass and tucked into it. I tell him I'm, Spurs Pistons here for that. Immediately he goes, "What do you think about that? What do you think about the Lions? Can they beat Stafford? What do you think about the Cowboys?" All NFL, so small sample. But anyway, the Spurs are probably just, some of them are just waking up right now. They didn't have practice today, sleeping in. It's wet, cold.
We're recording this on a Tuesday. The listeners are listening to this on a Wednesday, the day of the big game. But this is an off day in Detroit for Tom.
Wet and cold. They're sleeping in after two tough losses. Both were winnable. They're taking it easy this morning and trying to get as much rest as they need for that big game coming up against the Pistons.
I mean, it is the biggest game against the Detroit Pistons in Spurs history.
I don't see
not,
how
not game seven others. In 2005, but it's the biggest Spurs Pistons game in history. Just to put numbers on it, these two teams are a combined 8-73.
That's 8-73.
The Spurs are on pace. I did the math today using my kid's algebra from ninth grade. The Spurs are on pace for 11.7 wins, which would be the fewest in club history. The Pistons are on pace for 6.5, which would be an NBA record for an 82-game season, for the worst season ever. So I was just wondering, I don't know if our crack producer, Monty, can put in the Monday Night Football theme from the 80s here. Uh-huh. I think that would be great. Not the Hank Williams singing, but the orchestral, like the dun 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 dun.
You're looking large.
dun, 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 dun. It's that kind. It's that kind of game, that kind of build up. I think the world will be watching.
I hope Jeff just didn't cost us thousands of dollars.
I know that's copyrighted. It's
Yeah, but see, I'm off key.
There was also some breaking news leading into, it won't be breaking news tomorrow when the listeners listen, but breaking news before we recorded, the worst team in the NBA is going to be even worse against the local Cagers tomorrow, in that their best player, Cade Cunningham, won't play. So that even adds to the drama of the whole thing.
I mean, we joke, but like, there's pressure on both these teams, right? Like, both these teams have to be feeling some measure of pressure. Like, God, we got to win this one.
Yeah.
I think
I will quibble with one thing. You said there's no team in the league that is approaching this level of ineptitude, but the Washington Wizards are 6-30.
They have doubled the Pistons in wins. They're 100% better.
Oh, I thought you meant both the teams. The Spurs are only one game worse than the Wizards.
Well, they're, you know, what's the sixth? They're 16.7% better. It's unbelievable. The Wizards are close, and that showdown's coming later this month. But right now, these are the two clear trendsetters, the two standard bearers.
All right, so let's break it down. Why do we think the Spurs can win?
Because if not now, when?
they have a secret weapon.
What's that?
Well, last time these teams met, I believe it was an overtime affair.
It was Devontae Graham.
Devontae Graham set a franchise record for points in a Spurs debut. So Pop's been holding him out.
There you go. Yeah, but the Pistons have a secret weapon in that amazing media dining hall that where Keldon goes in before the game and just scarfs all the pizza and chicken fingers and whatnot. He might be a little sluggish. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Someone has mentioned before, it's a really bad idea, but that sports writers like us need to make more public like rankings of media meals, pregame, all that type of stuff. Like, the listeners don't care.
People don't really care.
It's complaining about food. But we'll make an exception here because Tom and Jeff, I think, both have Detroit in the top five league-wide.
Oh, it's number one. Like, by number one with a bullet. Like, nothing comes close to this spread that they have.
See, I didn't think Tom had him number one.
It's the variety. It's like going to Luby's. Like, you can get anything you want there.
Okay.
There's like every other arena you go to, here's your meal, and this is what you got. Take it or leave it.
Jeff, well, this is by that standard, like, it's clearly why the Golden Corral is far superior to any of your five-star restaurants.
But it's also
because if you go to a five-star French restaurant, it's a prefix menu. You only get one thing. But at Golden Corral, you could have anything.
Pull the entire league. I don't know how many people go. You need to pull 500 people. It'd be 499 to, I guess, one. I'm just finding out now. It would just be the one. Everyone raves about this thing.
It's the number one.
Amazing.
It's the number one guilty pleasure meal. I mean, you don't feel good afterward. At least
I mean, because there's no place that's serving you five-star French cuisine, Mike Finger. You know this.
Yeah, but I also, and I think even the listeners know this. We've discussed it in the past. Jeff McDonald is renowned across our.
But it's everyone
for having the palate of a 6-year old.
Like, everyone I know, like the first year this Little Caesars thing opened, the Little Caesars Arena, like every place you would go, people would be in whatever dining hall going, have you seen the thing in Detroit? That's unbelievable. Okay. I can't believe it.
Well,
it's not just me.
We probably already spent too much time on this.
I know.
About media food.
Let's move on.
Okay. Good. Tom has been with the Cagers on this trip. We do this every week. Update on the state of the Spurs. Well, how are you feeling? Where are they these days? Well, mentally, physically, all that stuff.
Like I said, they were right there the last two games, and Cleveland was a tough one. You know, they had the turnover there with 10 seconds left. Wemby passed up a shot, although I don't I don't blame him for that. It was a good double team closing on him, led by Jared Allen. And he gets the ball to Jeremy. Double team, they rotate really well on him as well. He kicks it out to the perimeter, misses Keldon, and that's the game.
The past two games have featured Victor Wembanyama passing in on what turned out to be the pivotal possession. The first one, I think, was a pretty clear-cut, obvious, you have to pass their move. He had nowhere to go. I'm not sure about the design of that after timeout play, if it was perfect. But both Devin and Victor both found themselves in situations where they didn't have any places to go. And then you do have an NBA player in the short corner, the most the location on the floor that other than at the rim, that is the best shot you can take in an NBA basketball game, either a layup, a dunk, or a corner three, because it's the closest, it's the most makeable. And it's Trey Jones, who is not a great three-point shooter, but I think you sort of have to live with that wide, wide, wide open shot against Milwaukee. I have no problem with that play. The one against Cleveland, I think, yeah, Victor's guarded, but I think eventually that is a shot you want your franchise player to take in that situation, rather than make that pass to Jeremy and in a situation where he's not in his best spot, and then he makes a pass that clearly wasn't great. You want at some point, probably this year, but for sure in his career, Victor Wembanyama to take that shot, driving to the basket, even though you're guarded, you want to take that shot.
Yeah, it was the right basketball play, but you're right. Yeah,
I don't think it was the right basketball.
Well,
I don't think
they closed on him pretty well. It was a good double team.
If you're Victor Wembanyama, that is not the right basketball play, and I think he would probably admit that privately. The other two options are not better than what Victor has there. They're closing on him, but he's 7'4".
Little jump hook.
He's unbelievable.
There it is. Yeah, Giannis does not think he's 7'4", but
little jump hook.
If you're
Giannis doesn't think he's 7'3". When
Keldon made that pass to Victor, like as he's making it, I had this flash in my brain, like, oh my gosh, they finally figured this out. Victor's got someone pinned deep in the post. Throw the 7'4" guy the ball, let him shoot a jump hook over everybody, and that's your best option in that spot. Should have taken the shot. Yep. I don't mind the pass.
And he
the pass to Jeremy looked open for a second. Like I see why he made it.
Allen had blocked him.
Sure, that was a dunk.
So I mean, maybe he was a little gun shy. It's a learning experience. It's a learning experience.
I understand the pass to Jeremy. It looked open for a second, but if you're scared Jared Allen is going to block Victor Wembanyama, you're double scared he's going to block Jeremy Sochan.
Correct. Like Jeremy's not in a situation where he has an obvious shot there that's better than the one Victor has.
And so at that point, I don't mind the pass out to Keldon, who kind of was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, he was in the wrong spot. Definitely, he should cut in. He should definitely cut in.
But everyone thought Victor was going to take the shot. Right. Keldon threw the pass to Victor, thinking that he was going to take the shot, and he kind of just let up, is what happened.
I kind of don't think that there's a lot of gray area about either those two plays. I think Victor clearly made the correct pass to Trey Jones against Milwaukee, and he clearly made the wrong pass against Cleveland. It goes both ways. And I think next time, you go through endings like this, you go through these crunch time minutes, which it's probably a positive thing to sound like Greg Popovich, that they competed their butts off and put themselves in a situation where they have these crunch time reps. It's good to get them and to fail on them and then to get better next time. We've gone this far. We're gone 10 minutes into this podcast without discussing the fact that there's a new, at least for the moment, maybe not tomorrow, but at least for the moment, starting point guard for your local Cagers.
Dominic Barlow.
I don't know. We've said all along this isn't going to be a cure-all, and it hasn't been. The games have sort of gone how the games have gone. They've gotten out to good starts, but they got it out to good starts with Jeremy Sochan at point guard. I think we've discussed this a lot over the past week off the podcast. I think this is something that should have happened earlier. That's fair to say. The numbers say the Spurs are better with Trey Jones playing point guard. The only two-man lineups that are positive on the whole team out of 56 that have played at least 50 minutes as of a couple days ago are Trey Jones and Victor Wembanyama and Trey Jones and Devin Vassell. So you, it's a good idea to have those guys play together. And Trey, as a starter, Trey Jones is only going to play, as we've mentioned on the podcast before, 5, 6, 7 more minutes than he did as a backup. We're arguing over those few minutes. But I think it's a good idea to have him playing with the starters. I think that probably should have happened earlier. And I think this is where we're going to get into maybe a difference of opinion with the host and the drama queen of the podcast. I think they probably should have signed another point guard to start the season because the Jeremy Sochan thing did not work. It was wasted minutes. And I think I'll open it up to Jeff to give his counter. But while I will concede, and I've said all along that I was fine with attempting the Jeremy Sochan experiment. I think if that pays off, it pays huge, huge, huge dividends. I did not argue against it when it was happening, so I can't argue against it after the fact. But after the fact, you can reevaluate and say, yeah, that probably was a bad idea. It did not come close to working. And if they had to do all over again, they wouldn't. I'll let Jeff take over.
Yeah, if you could know the results of an experiment before you start it, then you wouldn't have to do the experiment.
But as I've said, that's amazing. As I've said, okay.
If you had told them they'd be 5-30, whatever, and it wouldn't work, then they wouldn't do it. Well, of course, they're not idiots.
Okay, so when the listeners, the viewers, the shut-ins come to you on that awful, awful social media site and say the Spurs should have signed a point guard and you dismiss them and say, oh, how can you say that? They tried whatever that you know, you completely dismiss it. Yes, you do.
No,
yes, you
I do. I don't care. I don't care and it doesn't matter.
But okay, this then
and
this
sign
is
who?
The, then
who,
this
who
is
could
the
you
argument.
Have signed, who could you have signed in July that you can't sign at least an analog to right now?
The any other person.
I think any other was, person, name one.
You could have kept campaign isn't much better, but you could name you any of those.
He didn't
guys.
Want to be here.
Well campaign didn't want to be there. I think that was the big.
I've said that, but he's under contract. I don't think that's the name, but a campaign like player. Whoever like Jetty Osman wanted to be here. You could find the Jetty Osman of point guards. There are plenty of guys who are just capable. And you say it doesn't matter. You say it doesn't matter.
I really don't.
It
think
matters.
Nah.
It matters. That's the argument that it does matter. They're 5-50.
They could be 10-45,
and that would be better.
Sure, sure, sure. Yippee, Skippy.
You cannot say that my problem with your whole answer on this, your whole approach, is you dismiss the idea that the Spurs messed up. And they messed up.
No, I'm just, if they had done that, that'd have been fine too.
Can you let me finish?
Everything's understandable.
Can you let me finish?
Are you Ross Perot now? What is this?
Yes. Ooh. Yes. Let me finish. You, on one hand, you dismiss anytime someone says the Spurs should have signed whatever, your instinct is to say, it doesn't matter anyway. Well, it sort of does. Like Vegas had them at 29 wins this year. That wouldn't have been a huge step forward. On this podcast, we all agreed that was low. I think we did a poll of the panel in the preseason. Was 29.5? Are you taking the over or the under? I think every one of us took the over because you expected to see progress.
Uh-huh.
There has not been progress. If you're looking at the future, like do the first 50 games of this season doom them does it doom their long-term plan for building under Victor Wembanyama? Of course not, but it sets it back. I think all people want you to do is acknowledge that it sets it back. Like you cannot improve
it's
20
less
wins
than
every
half
year.
A season,
right? It is less than half a season,
less
but you can only improve by so much every year. You're also, again, I mentioned this before, during the DeMar LaMarcus years, when everybody was yelling at them to tear everything down, we argued, I think correctly, that there is value to just not being terrible, that NBA teams do not exist in on the computer, that there are emotions, there are learning curves, there are levels of confidence that you don't want to shatter. And we had said that there is value in trying to compete, trying to win, winning 30 games instead of 25, winning 25 instead of 20 under DeMar and LaMarcus, even if you're not making the playoffs, because if you're really, really bad, that sets a tone that sets an expectation that winning does not matter. And that is the danger of seasons like this. Like, you cannot go from 10 wins to 40. And if they had gone this year to 29 wins, to 35, then you could realistically expect that in year two under Victor Wembanyama, maybe they compete for a playoff berth. Maybe they get to 40 wins. Maybe they get in the play-in. Now I think that's sort of unrealistic next year, because you're not going to go from 10 to 40. And I do think that all this, it doesn't, like I said on the terrible website, like, It doesn't matter that much, but it matters. And I think that just to be honest with ourselves, it adds to our credibility where we can say, yes, the Spurs messed up here, and yes, it matters. And that gives us more credibility when we can say the Spurs did great sometime. But to tell people over and over that when the Spurs mess up, it doesn't matter, I think it does everybody a disservice.
I'm not saying they did great. I'm saying it was an understandable undertaking and it didn't work and you move on. Like, it's reasonable is all I'm saying. It was a reasonable idea.
Well, how do they move on now?
And the idea
starting Trey Jones and then having Malachi Branham as the backup, like, they're in a bad situation.
And the idea that
you're still wasting half the game. Or I'm not saying campaign.
Though that no one can come up with that name.
I think it's very easy. Let me you talk and I'll look at 2023.
And you find me someone that's going to get that would have got him to 30 wins this year based on.
I'm not saying 30 wins. I'm saying don't waste half a year on Jeremy Sochan playing point guard.
It wasn't half a year. Did he start 15 games?
We're going to start the boxing gloves out here. So I got an argument here. I'm going to agree with Mike. I'll let him have a little time here. The one reason where it matters is for your fans. When you
I don't care about them.
Well, the Spurs should care about their fans. They've already lost two TV games because this team was so brutal to watch. No one wants to watch this team. Like, no one's
the Milwaukee game was pretty fun.
You want to see? Because you're starting Trey Jones.
That was the reason. Because
Without Trey Jones as the starter, it's like watching unicorns swim in hot garbage. That's what the season has been like watching. When you put Trey Jones on the court, it becomes eminently watchable. And for the fans,
I'm not sure he makes that much of it. I don't want to go that far because I don't think he makes that much of a difference, but it doesn't make a difference.
It's you're watching a little bit better of a brand of basketball when you're watching Trey Jones play 33 minutes versus him playing 23 minutes, because when he plays, he's not that great of a player, right? But Devin Vassell and Victor Wembanyama both play a lot better with Trey Jones on the court. They play a lot better with a true point guard on the court, and the basketball is a little bit better. Sure, they're not going to win a lot of games, but they're going to be a little bit more competitive. You're looking at a team that has one of the worst net ratings in NBA history. That's how bad they have been. And then when you put Trey Jones on the court, they have a positive net rating. Or it's like -2. That's his total net rating for the year, -2. You're competitive with him on the court. You're not competitive with Al on the court. And you're doing fans a disservice if you're not even trying.
Nobody's arguing that they're better with Trey Jones. That's clearly obvious, but I think they had that in their backpack all along. We're going to try this. We're going to try that. We can always go back to Trey Jones when we need to, which it appears that's what they've done. And they usually do this. I mean, it's not set in stone, but when they have things like this, they usually look at things in 20 game increments. So you had Jeremy starting about that many. They were nearing that many with Malachi starting. He got hurt. It looks like they moved on to phase three a little earlier, knowing that was always in their back pocket. And also knowing you're starting a guy that is not going to be your starting point guard when the Spurs are good.
Well, true, but you've done that before. But the argument is that they stuck with those experiments for too long. A, if you watch Malachi Branham on the court, you knew he wasn't a point guard. I mean, I don't know where they got that idea or they thought that was a good idea. That's one of my arguments.
Well,
I watched Malachi Branham. That was a bad idea from the jump.
Well, he started a lot of point guard last year too, so I think they were just trying to
didn't work then either.
Well, it was hard to tell because they were bad.
Well, but, I mean, it's hard to tell when you're bad because I mean,
I think a lot of it is they don't have a point guard,
which is bad roster.
And that's the point. They should have gotten one.
And then folks.
I will defend them on the Devontae Graham thing. A lot of the viewers, listeners out there are saying, just play Devontae Graham. He's a point guard, like nominally, by Wikipedia definition, maybe, but he's not. Why? He's not what they need a point. There's a reason why he's not playing.
I think if you look at this solely from Victor's development, it does matter. I mean, yeah,
it's, thank you, Tom.
And that's the one thing I think you need to look at is how
they've got 50 games still to do that.
But they don't. But
you know what I mean?
Okay, they don't have 50 games. They have a little over half the season, and No, it's not.
I mean,
and back to Victor for a second.
They played 35. Do you want to get the number, the exact number? I was exaggerating a little, just like earlier when you said they were 3-50, which they're not.
Okay.
Exaggerating.
Hey, Stephen A.
Look, we already know that Victor.
Okay, but my point on the 50 games is: are they going to sign a point guard tomorrow? No, they're stuck with what they have, and they're stuck with these Malachi Branham point guard minutes and Jeremy Sohan minutes, and I guess Blake. I'm fine with seeing more Blake Wesley point guard minutes.
I think there's value to all that in a second unit situation. I think there's value to that.
That's where experiments should happen, is in your second. And when you're,
I think there's value to that.
Let's see if Malachi Branham can play point guard. Have him do with that second unit. Don't have him that experiment on the court with Wimbiyama, which sets back Victor.
Well, here you go. You got plenty of time to do that. We're not even close to the All-Star break.
Back to Victor. How amazing.
The All-Star break has not had the halfway point of the season.
Anyway, but we're not to the halfway point. You've got plenty of games to do all this stuff. Plenty of games.
How amazing is Victor to be doing what he's doing with Sohan, with Malachi, Trey, whoever at point guard, and the minutes restriction. Just doing what he's doing is amazing in these circumstances. You know,
and the fact that you say in these circumstances is a qualifier that shouldn't be a qualifier.
Right.
Yeah. by the way, just a list of and I'm just going to list a bunch of names because this is the kind of guy they could have gotten. Like you have veteran types who were free agents who, by the way, think back to last summer, the Spurs had unlimited cap space, basically unlimited. You could money whip anybody you want, some random backup point guard, and they would have come here whether they wanted to be with a rebuilding team or not. Also, they could have played with Victor Wembanyama, but you could go the old school route of like a DJ Augustine or Alec Burks, who is with the Pistons now. just veteran point guards, steady hands who you could have around for a year, like your Javon Carters. Jordan Clarkson's probably wouldn't have come here, but you could have money with them if you want, because that would have taken a longer financial commitment, what have you. But there are those types of guys, you know, Michael Carter Williams, Javon Carter, Troy Brown, on down the list of guys who, like,
how do
these
you
aren't
choose?
Difference makers. These
how
aren't
do you choose
makers.
Between those guys?
Okay, how do you choose between those guys and Jeremy Sohan at point guard? Malachi Branham, guys who cannot play the position. My point is, there are guys who you could have gotten.
It's all fine. That would have been great. But I also think you want to give minutes to the guys that your young guys. You don't want to take minutes. You don't want to take the. You would rather have Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley Carter.
Yeah, give.
I'd rather have Blake Wesley playing 20 minutes and being miserable at it than Javon Carter or Michael Carter Williams.
Okay, then play Blake Wesley. They aren't.
Look,
they're doing is they're giving their minutes that you think are so valuable to Jeremy Sohan and Malachi Branham, who are regressing by playing those point guard minutes.
Not anymore. Jeremy Sohan has not played point guard in a month.
But we're talking about the season as a whole.
Has he improved?
He regressed, and I'm not sure he's recovered from that.
I don't look at his numbers at power forward. They look pretty similar to what he was doing last year.
Okay. He is running the offense in certain circumstances.
Yeah. And the Malachi Branham's not a point guard. I'll agree with you.
Sure.
On that. Like,
I agree
like
with that too.
That shouldn't be happening.
Well, it's not.
It is in the on the second team.
The only thing Branham does well at the point guard position is shoot free throws. That's the best thing I can say about how he performed.
I would say your second unit point guard, your ball mover, is really Chetty Osman. And I would say a lot of it matters less now that Keldon Johnson's there, because he's going to be creating a lot of his own offense.
Woof.
I think they're not going to be good, but I think they finally got things organized like the way the
way they should have from the first game of the season.
Well,
everyone thought they were going to organize it.
If their goal was to do that, but they wanted to try other stuff first, and I don't mind it. This is a season to do that, because you're going to suck anyway.
I think Popovich kind of ruined the experiment. I mean, we go back to this and we brought it up 100 times. Is his comments before the season kind of ruined the fact
that's fair.
Hey, we're just going to experiment. He said they're going to try to win. They didn't.
That was the mistake.
That was a huge mistake.
Or the way he phrased it was
and yelling at the fans are his two biggest mistakes of the season.
Well, I'll be pedantic again. The mistake wasn't necessarily saying that. It was if you're going to say that, then you need to approach the season differently. And I think it's a combination. The two together.
That's fair.
It's him saying it was about winning, and then they didn't follow through on it.
That's fair. I think they thought they would win a bit more games.
They did
the way they were going. The thing with Sohan is you want to find out if we have this 6'8" guy who can actually do this, that changes everything, and that changes who you draft next year. That changes who you throw your big cap space money at in the future. They wanted to see, and they saw, and now here we go. You know, now they know you can't do it.
All this drama on this podcast is mainly for the ratings. Like, we're doing it just for the huge.
No, I legitimately.
It's for the Taco Palenka stuff. Like, the Taco Palenka is loving this because it's just drawing in the ears, the eyeballs, all that type of stuff. We're Jeff and I are closer on this than we let on, but
you just like to argue.
The
problem.
The point about the experiment. And while I've written, I've conceded that if that works, it's a huge, huge thing. Like, being able to play Jeremy Sohan at point guard, if he becomes an NBA caliber upper division point guard, that's amazing. But part of why you employ a stats department and an analysis team, scouts, all these smart people, and the Spurs have some of the smartest people in the league. Those guys are great. Their wins far outnumber their losses. But part of the reason you do all that is to identify which experiments have a chance of working. And like, it would be a huge thing if, like, how great would it be if Zach Collins could be an NBA point guard? you don't try that experiment though, because that clearly is not going to work. And there was not really an ounce of, I cannot remember a point in this during this whole experiment, 15 games, 20 games, whatever it was, where I thought, wow, this Jeremy thing is really close to working. It never did. And so I think that even though, while you can say it would have been great if it worked out and they tried it and it didn't, like, I kind of tip my hat and say kudos to you for trying something different. The NBA can be boring with traditional thinking. They tried something new. But that, looking back on it, that it's not that that was a 50-50 coin flip and it didn't work out. Like, that Jeremy Sohan at point guard thing maybe had, what, a 5% chance of working out?
I don't know.
And that's a gamble that they took. And sure, sometimes you take gambles and fail. But that gamble did not have much of a chance, I don't think.
We don't know what they were seeing in practice. I think if you go back, this is kind of, I think this is actually true. If we go back and listen to one of our podcasts from before the season, where I was kind of making fun of it and using almost like a sarcastic example like you just did, and saying, why don't we play Trey Jones at center? Right. And you guys were talking me down.
I agree.
We're all flipped around.
The difference is, I admit that I got it way, way, way wrong.
I'm just saying it was a reasonable, like, there are reasons for it. There are reasons.
Of course.
I don't yell as much on this podcast, but if you go back, you will find that I was never endorsing it. Just for the record, Trey Jones all the way since he was drafted.
It's easy to not be wrong when you never put yourself out there. But okay.
This is, well, it's hard to yell over Jeff, to be fair.
That's true.
But I'm a very, hey, I got to go eat some mac and cheese or something. It's almost lunchtime.
Okay.
You got to wrap this up.
Okay. Well, you know, my advice to everyone out there for the week, we like to finish up on a positive note.
Wait, hold on. Tom's going to have some mac and cheese probably at the Little Caesars tomorrow. So
you say you want to leave and then you keep interjecting.
Sorry.
This freaking guy, man. Yeah,
it's just like breaking your flow.
I mean, it's just completely ruined now. The thing
it was
is
already ruined.
The thing is, try to see the positive side of things, but use the Spurs Insider podcast brought to you by Taco Palenque as a guide for the way you approach the rest of the week. And keep in mind that sometimes you might be on the wrong track and sometimes you might have made a mistake. And when you do, acknowledge it like the host of the Spurs Insider podcast does and try to use that as a learning experience to make the rest of your days better. And don't take the Jeff McDonald approach of putting your hands over your ears and insisting
this isn't very positive
that no mistakes were ever made.
Now I'm glad.
Try to use the Spurs Insider podcast brought to you by Taco Palenque as an example. Either be a Mike or be a Jeff. The choice is up to you. Take care of each other. Keep it real.
As we'll see. Pop says, it's a game of mistakes.
Okay, Tom.
The answer is be a Tom.